I will.
Maybe commence our meeting this evening with the words of 286, 286. The cross of Christ, what untold love, what grace was there expressed, the only way to heaven above, to God's eternal rest. The work of Christ was so complete, its glory not condemned, the point where God and sinners meet, and thousands meet with him. Now maybe we'll just take time to sing all five verses of the hymn, and if it's convenient, we'll stand to sing.
The cross of Christ was on the ground. What grace was there expressed? The only way to heaven above, to God's
Father, we come before thee and we give thee thanks for all the mercies of another day. Our God and Father, we give thee thanks for thy Son and how he was willing to go to the cross of Calvary to lay down his life that sinners like us might have eternal life. Our God and Father, we thank thee for bringing us all here safely and in this weather, and we just ask that to give us help to preach this gospel message, how that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We just leave it before thee and ask thee for thy blessing in the meeting ahead, in the worthy and precious name of thy Son. Amen.
Now we're very glad to see you all tonight. Make you all very welcome to the meeting, and also those who are online. We thank you for logging in and pray that the Lord might bless. And we're also glad to have our speakers tonight, David Peden and Luke Fairley from Plantation in Lisburn. Thank them very much for coming. Pray that the Lord might help them as they would bring the message of the gospel again to us. Just before they would speak to us, reminding you of the various meetings. Tomorrow evening is the Bible Explorers for the young people at 7, and Jeffrey Johnson I'll be speaking to that, so hopefully the weather will be kind to be able to have that meeting. Then on Thursday, 7:45, the prayer meeting. Next Lord's Day will be the breaking of bread at 11 a.m., the Sunday school and Bible class at 3, and then the prayer meeting at 6:30, and then the gospel reading again next Sunday evening at 7. The speaker expected next Sunday evening is Ian McKee from Newton Ard. So these are all subject to the will of the Lord, and you're very welcome to come back, and just thank you for coming and pray that the Lord might bless each one tonight.
Now, you are all very welcome, and we appreciate very much you coming to hear the message of the gospel this evening. It's not a very pleasant night, and we trust that you'll be blessed for braving the weather outside tonight. Now, I would like to read from the Bible in the Gospel of John, the Gospel according to John, and chapter number 3. The Gospel according to John and chapter number 3. And this tells of this chapter tells something of the story of a man by the name of Nicodemus. And there's some things that I would like to consider with you on this man of Nicodemus and tell you something of the greatest day of my life. The day in my life when I realized that I was a sinner on the way to eternity. But how that the Lord Jesus Christ took my place and died upon the cross of Calvary, that my sins could be forgiven. Now, Nicodemus, or John chapter 3, and we'll read from the first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And down to verse number 14, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's all that we wish to read at this point in the meeting. So, you know, as I think back upon my little life, you know, I was born on the 19th of March 2003. So if you're quick with maths, you'll be able to calculate what age I am. So I was born on the 19th of March 2003, and I was born into a home where both my parents were Christians. They were saved before I was born. You say that was a great thing and a great privilege, and yes, it was. I was taken along to meetings like this from I was very, very small. I was taken along to Sunday school and children's meetings, and I heard the gospel from my very earliest. I don't remember a time when I didn't know that I needed to be saved. I don't remember the first time I heard the gospel message. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you don't remember the first time you heard the gospel message. Maybe you do. But let me tell you tonight before I start, regardless of your background, regardless of where you come from, regardless of anything, God loves you and the Lord Jesus Christ has died for you and you can be in heaven at the end of life's journey. I came from a home where both my parents were Christians. But you know, that doesn't mean that because you come from a home where your parents are Christians, that you will be in heaven at the end of life's journey. Salvation is an individual thing. It's a decision that you will make alone. And you know, it's a decision that you must make. So I went to Sunday school and went to gospel meetings and children's meetings from when I was very young. And you know the reason I read this story of Nicodemus when I tell my testimony or how God reached and saved my precious soul is because quite often whenever I was in Sunday school, this was the wee chorus that I remember. And every Sunday it was given out. And Nicodemus came to Jesus one night long ago, and the Savior told him something everyone should know. You say, what did the Lord Jesus Christ tell Nicodemus those 2,000 years ago? What did he tell him? He told him, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Intriguing words. You say, what is ye must be born again? Well, to be born again, the Bible really just means to be saved. You must have, when the Bible says you must be born again, that's speaking of the moment where you realize that you're a sinner, the moment that you realize the Lord Jesus Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary and your sins can be forgiven through him. The Bible says that you're a new creation, that you have new life. And that's really what it's speaking of. But this word to be saved, well, what does it really mean? You know, if you have to be saved, you have to be saved from something. There's danger. And yes, the Bible speaks of danger. The Bible speaks of danger on our path. You see, after life, there is only two places. There's heaven for those that have had that moment where they have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, who are relying upon him to take them to heaven because he has died in their place and he has forgiven their sins. But you know, if you have not had that moment, there is only one other place, and that place is called hell. Two places, heaven or hell. You know, the Bible, it tells us very clearly in Romans and chapter 6 and verse, or Romans chapter 3, that it says, for all have sinned. All of us have sinned. Without excuse and without exception, we all have sinned. And as a result, our sins are taking us down to that place called hell. You know, hell's not a place that I enjoy preaching on. And it's not a place that's a nice place. No, it's an awful place. And it's a place of fire and punishment forever. And perhaps the saddest thing about hell is that it is forever. Two places. Say you've told us about the place called hell and why we're going there. We're going there because of our sin. That's right. But you know, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it tells us of another place. It tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You see, I'm very glad for that but of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Our sins will end up in death, but you know, the gift of God is eternal life. You say, what is God's gift? God's gift is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave him to die upon the cross of Calvary. And you know, because the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary, if you trust in him, you can be in heaven. You say, is it really that simple? Yes, it is. Accepting that we're sinners before God, and accepting that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. That's the message of the gospel in a nutshell. It's not a complicated message. God never intended it to be complicated. He intended it to be perfectly simple. Just to take the message of the gospel in faith and believe it and receive it and be in heaven at the end of life's journey. You know, I think of this verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16, and it tells perfectly, I think, the story of the gospel, the message of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, the message of the gospel, it tells us that God loved us, for God so loved the world. And it tells us what God done to prove his love. You know, God, he always shows us, and he always shows a pattern. And you know, God, he showed he loved us. He didn't just say that he loved us. He proved that he loved us, and he proved that he loved us by sending his Son to die upon the cross of Calvary. And that Son was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, and you know, he was nailed upon that cross, and he was nailed to the cross of Calvary, and there he laid down his life for me, and he laid down his life for you. And you know that message of the gospel, you know, it tells us, you say, you've told us that, you know, we're on our way to hell. You know that our sins are taking us down. You've told us that God loves us and that the Lord Jesus Christ for us. But how do I really get saved? How do I get it? Who can get it? Well, the Bible again tells us very clearly. It says that whosoever believeth in him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God, he loved us. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us. And you know, the decision of salvation is now yours. What are you going to do with him? Are you going to reject him again another night and walk out those doors and say no? Say, no, I wouldn't reject the Lord Jesus Christ. No, I wouldn't say no to him. Well, maybe you just are going to just think, say, put it off to another time. And maybe you're just going to walk out those doors and say, maybe next week, or I'm very busy at the minute, but another time. Well, that, I'm sorry to tell you, but that's rejection. That's saying no. And you know, there's none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. The only time to be saved is, that the Bible says, is behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. None of us know what tomorrow will bring. None of us even know whether we will get to tomorrow. None of us even know whether that clock will reach 7:30. None of us know what the future holds. The only time to be saved is right now. The only time that we can guarantee salvation is behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you know something that used to scare or cause for concern when I was younger, before I was saved, was the thought that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming again. And you know, he is coming again. I don't know when, but you know, I can only assume it will be soon. There's nothing left to be fulfilled in the Bible. There's nothing left to happen before he will come. And you know, it could be any minute. It could be any time. And you know, there'll be a great shout. And you know, those that have had that moment where they have realized that they're sinners on the way to God's eternity, but realize that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken their place, you know, they leave this earth. They'll be gone forever, never to come back. And you know, I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ was to come tonight. And you know, as I look over this audience, I don't know very many, but as I look over this audience, I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ was to come and to give that great shout tonight, and to call his people home. I wonder, would we have a divided audience here in Newton Breda? Yes, there would be some that would rise to be in heaven with him forever. Do you know, I wonder, would there be some that would be left on the seats for God's judgment forever? You know, I move quickly on. You know, one of the things that we used in my awakening was an incident that happened at school. And you know, the boys in school, they knew well who my parents were and where they went on a Sunday. They would have known that they were Christians. And you know, I didn't really like people knowing that my parents were Christians. You know, it was something of a shame to me, and you know, I didn't like that. But they knew anyway, and that was fine. And I remember I had done something in school one day that I shouldn't have done, and which was nothing unusual for me. But I done something anyway, and I got pulled out by the head of year or the head teacher or whatever, and he gave me a bit of a telling off. And I remember I came back in feeling a bit sorry for myself, and the boy that sat beside me, his name was James. And James said to me, he laughed and he says, "That's not something that a Christian would do." And I remember I turned around as quick as can be and I says to him, I says, "James, I'm not a Christian." I was 14 years of age. I'd heard the gospel from before I can even remember. And I'd been to every Sunday school and children's meeting and gospel meeting. And that was the first time in my life that I realized that I wasn't ready to meet God. 14 years of age, you'd been reared in a Christian home all your life. You'd been to gospel meetings. You'd been to children's meetings. Did it make you ready for heaven? No, it didn't. Far from it. I was a sinner just the same as anybody else. And at 14 years of age, the first time I realized I wasn't ready to meet God was when somebody said to me in school, "That's not what a Christian does." An important moment in my life. And you know, it was a moment that I thought much about salvation, but I didn't get saved at that time. You say, why did you not get saved at that time? Because I didn't want to put it first. And you know, let me be real with you, and I don't want to sound harsh, but you know, you will never get God's salvation if you're not willing to put it first. God thought so highly of his Son, and rightly so, because his Son sacrificed so much to give his life upon the cross of Calvary, that he wouldn't give you salvation and you give him second best. You know, at that time, I wasn't willing to put the matter of salvation first, and other things took priority. And that, you know, I feel at that time, that's why I didn't get God's salvation. It wasn't that God wouldn't have given it to me. He would have. But I wasn't willing to take it on God's terms. I move on to the 25th of August, 2018. You know, I became friendly with a lad, and I'm still friendly with him today. And he took me to a ministry meeting one night, and I remember on the way home in the car, we were talking about a whole lot of things, and nothing probably very important. But I remember he said to me, he stopped me, and he says to me, he says, "Look, do you ever think about getting God's salvation?" And I wouldn't have been too stuck for something to say, but that stopped me. And you know, I realized in that moment, I'm going to have to make a decision. Do you know, tonight you will have to make a decision. Are you going to reject him another time, or are you going to go in for God's salvation? And I realized I had a decision to make. And you know, in that moment, I says to myself, "Look, you've gone on long enough. You're heading well out into your teenage years. You know, life's going to start to change. What are you going to do? What am I going to do?" I ask you tonight, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with the message of the gospel? What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? I leave it for your consideration. I had a decision to make. What was I going to do? Was it going to take the Lord Jesus Christ, or was it going to take the world? I decided I was going to get God's salvation. And I was going to have it one way or another. And I said to myself, I'm going to take it. And I remember I said to my friend, I says, "I would love to be saved, but I says, I don't know how." And I remember he read, or he quoted different verses of scripture to me, and you know, John 3:16 and John 3:36, and you know, Isaiah 53, and there was a list. Do you know, I just couldn't see it, but that wasn't God's fault, that was my fault. I was just making a work of the thing. I was complicating it. And you know, as he thought over, and we thought it over together, you know, he said to me, he says, "Look, it's just like this." He says, "It's like a court scene." And he says, "God's the judge." And he says, "Look, Farley is a sinner and he deserves to go to hell." I knew that. Didn't dispute it. He says, "The Lord Jesus Christ comes in. And he says, I'll take Luke Farley's place. And I'll die in his stead. And he can go free. I'll suffer what he should have suffered forever." And you know, in that moment, I just drank in the truth of it. I just drank in the truth. I was a sinner. But the Lord Jesus Christ took my place. Now that's the simple message of the gospel. How that the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come and he has finished the work. And he said on the cross of Calvary, it's finished. And there's nothing left to do. And you know, tonight you can have God's salvation. If you're just ready to accept that you're a sinner on your way to hell, but ready to accept that the Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. And it is finished.
Again, we make all welcome to the meeting this evening, and we want to turn to the scriptures for short readings, and the first is in Psalm 50, and we'll read verse 21, Psalm 50, verse 21, God is speaking, and he's speaking to his ancient people Israel, and he says, verse 21, "These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now, Isaiah 53, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5, speaking about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus upon the cross, Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now over to the New Testament and to the book of Acts chapter 16. You're likely already ahead of me and thinking of the verses we're going to read. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. And brought them out, that is the jailer in Philippi, brought Paul and Silas out. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And then our final scripture is from the Gospel by Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, just one verse, Luke 15 and verse number 8. Luke 15 and verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Now that's our reading. We trust with the Lord's blessing upon his word. Now we've taken four readings from the scriptures this evening, and there are four fairly straightforward thoughts upon my mind for the meeting tonight. First of all, from Psalm number 50, we want to think about the silence of the sovereign. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. The silence of the sovereign. Then when we come over to Isaiah 53, we want to think about the sufferings of the Savior. But he was wounded for our transgression. Then when you come over into the book of Acts chapter 16, we want to think about the salvation of a sinner. He cries out at midnight, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the reply, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then finally from Luke 15, there verse number 8, we want to think about the strivings of the gracious Holy Spirit, pictured as a woman, lighting a lamp, searching diligently through the house until she find it. And so that's what's on our mind for the meeting this evening. And the time is short. We need to get straight to it. And we'll come to think about the silence of the sovereign from Psalm number 50. These things hast thou done, but I kept silence. And I know, I'm very much aware that the silence of God is a big issue for many in our world today. We are bombarded by images from a multitude of sources and media, and we're all aware of the mess that our world is in, the sad condition of things. Things are crumbling internationally and nationally, and down to the personal level, there's a great level of turmoil and of distress. And people ask these days, and maybe rightly so, where is God? And why does he not move? And why does he not work? Why does he not intervene? And why are the heavens silent? Well, I suppose, first of all, that presupposes that God hasn't spoken. That assumes that God hasn't intervened. And I think we need to rethink that and look at that again. Because God has spoken. God has moved. God has worked. You say, where, when, and how? Well, you only need to look at the cross. and at Calvary and at the sufferings of the Savior. And God has very, very definitely intervened, and God very clearly has spoken in the cross and in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is merciful, and God is gracious, and God is patient, God is long-suffering, and God is giving time, and He's giving opportunity to souls to hear the gospel and to repent and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But be in no doubt. Psalm 50 and many other scriptures would tell us that God will speak. And God will move. And God will intervene. Not now in mercy or in grace, but God will move in judgment. These things hast thou done. Now God is saying you did them. Now we need to get that clear. You did them. These are your sins. These are your transgressions. These are your iniquities. And God says, yes, I kept silent. You misunderstood my silence. You thought that I would be indifferent and casual to your sin. But God says, I will order them, I will gather them, I will group them, I will marshal them, I will present them, I will say, these are the things that you did. And for all of these things, God most surely will bring us into judgment. I think of Revelation chapter 20, and John, heaven and earth had fled away, and the great white throne, the throne sitter, the dead, the small and the great, they're all there. The unseen are amassed for judgment. The books are opened, and another book is opened. And the dead are judged according to those things that are written in the book. And I'm going to leave that, friend, but I want you to understand this evening that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You say that's a fairly stiff way to start a gospel message, the first gospel meeting of a new year. Well, maybe it is, friend, but listen now. This is why you need to see it. This is why you need your sins forgiven. Because if they're not, for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Now, we'll need to leave that. We come to Isaiah chapter 53 and to the sufferings of the Savior. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. And so the message of the gospel this evening brings us again, and thankfully so, to that place which is called Calvary. The message of the gospel demands and commands that we come again afresh to consider the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ at that place which is called Calvary. And so, friend, this evening we invite you, in a busy world that clamors for your attention and demands your time, we invite you this evening to come aside and rest a while beneath the shade and the shadow of that ancient rugged tree, and in your soul afresh to hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low. They're nailing my Lord to the tree. The cross they upraised, the multitude gazed upon Jesus, the blessed Lamb of dark Calvary. And ask yourself the question. Do a bit of thinking this evening and ask yourself the question, why? Why was he there? Why did he need to suffer so? Well, friend, the Bible tells us that it was because our sin on him by God were led. He who himself had never sinned for sinners, sin was made, and he was wounded for our transgression. You say, for whose transgression? The Bible says, for our transgressions. You know, friend, the message of the gospel is a great message. I want you to know this evening that you're included, that you're invited, that you're wanted, that you're welcomed, that you're embraced by the saving grace of God. For the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible tells us that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Bible tells us clear and plain that he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And so I want to tell you tonight, friend, on the authority of this book, that God loves you and Christ has died so that you can be saved. And you will be saved. You say, when will I be saved? Well, just the moment you come as a sinner to Jesus. That's Acts chapter 16, the jailer in Philippi. At the midnight hour, the man was awakened and the man was disturbed. The man was concerned. Tell me, friend, tonight. Are you concerned? Are you disturbed? Are you troubled about your sin? The matter of God's salvation. This man was wakened up from wrath to flee. And at the midnight hour, he cries, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The apostle, clear and plain. The Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You young people know that, don't you? You've heard that from Sunday school. You know how to be saved. Now the point is this, friend. You not only need to hear the gospel, you need to respond to the gospel. You need to believe the gospel. The Bible tells us that the way to heaven is clear and plain. Just repent and believe and be born again. You know, it troubles me a fair bit to think that people come and go to gospel meetings all their days. They never seem to understand that they're actually held responsible by the God of heaven to believe. To believe the message of the gospel. When we come to Luke 15 and we're closing, we're not going to keep things late this evening. Luke 15 and verse 8, there's a woman and she lights a lamp and she does a bit of searching. She's looking for something that has been lost. The whole chapter is a great chapter. We commend it to you for your own personal reading. Starts with a shepherd and he's lost a sheep. That's a picture of the work of the Son. The Lord Jesus, he goes out searching for it, seeking for it. He finds it, he lifts it, he brings it home, the work of the Son. Closes with the story of the prodigal boy. That's the welcome of the Father. He sees him afar off and he runs to meet him and he embraces him and he kisses him and he robes him and he puts a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and he slays the fatted calf. What a welcome. I tell you, there's a great welcome for the repentant sinner. This little parable here, right in the middle, it's the Spirit and it's the witness of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit. And there's a lamp, there's light, and there's illumination in the darkness, and things are being disturbed, and things are being upset, and she searches, and she searches, and she searches until she finds it. I take it, I judge. That's why story about a son, there's a story about a father, there's a story about a woman. Spirit of God likened to a woman searching for a thing. Are you men? No. Be honest now. You go. Go searching for something. Open a drawer. That's not there. Then a woman goes searching for something. Searching. 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 Till she find it. I want to tell you, friend, the Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is working. And this is a glorious opportunity tonight for you to be saved. The Bible tells us, if today ye hear his voice, then harden not your hearts. For there is a line, there's a line that is crossed. By rejecting our Lord, the call of the Spirit is lost. As you hurry along in the pleasure mad throng, say, have you counted? Have you counted? But what if tonight, now what if tonight were to be your law? Silence of the sovereign. That silence will be broken in judgment. Sufferings of the Savior. Very foundation upon which you can be saved. God is just and justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. The salvation of a soul just by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The tragedy of missing the Spirit qua. Our Father, we do commend ourselves to thee. We ask for thy gracious blessing. We pray for all that are present, for all that are listening at home. And we look to thee for movements of grace. And we pray for salvation that our Savior is worthy. Amen. Now, thank you for coming tonight. We're not going to sing. The time's gone. Just give us a moment to make it to the door.